And we're back once again on Bottom Line IT, Mike and Amy in the ASK studio. So glad you're with us. So, you know, there's been news since the U.S. election in 2016, Amy, about Russian interference with our electoral process. And we know for a fact, I think, now that there was Russian interference, and we know that that's a tactic that the Russian government frequently uses in other countries' elections.
Right. I would think that that's not a surprising thing.
No, that's not.
That's part of, I think, any, you know, government worth its salt of any size with any technological, you know, aptitude is going to be trying to do that right now.
That's right. And France had an election more recently,
mm-hmm.
and the Russian government again tried to influence that election, only failed. They weren't as successful as they were here in the U.S., at least to the degree. And it was largely attributed, and this was the election where Macron.
Right, Emmanuel Macron.
Emmanuel Macron won. And the folks on his staff, in trying to guard against interference by the Russian government, put together an active defense team that set up what are called honeypots.
And, yes, very
and
clever.
We talk about this in cybersecurity consulting all the time. If Josh Gambala were here, he'd tell you all about honeypots.
He would.
But honeypots are basically places you put out in cyberspace to try to induce bad guys to attack. But you've set it up with the intention of getting them to attack it,
right,
so you can figure out what they're doing, and you can. It's a counterintelligence act, I guess.
Right. So the stuff you're putting out there, you're intentionally putting out there vulnerable, so then you can carefully craft, you know, out and out lie what's there, and then have a bunch of information to distract them. You know, keep them busy because they're sifting through all the documents you're putting there so that they don't have time to get to the meat of the situation that they might otherwise have access to.
So they, in this case, made, this being Macron's team, made emails available with some effort to the Russians that were fake emails. But they did this, and they reported this to the New York Times recently. They did this in such a volume that they basically buried them with information.
Right.
So it became impossible for them to really get through all the emails and the information.
Right, because they had so many, the large volume of fake documents that were out there just kind of would bog down their ability to glean real data.
Yeah, the one quote I read from one of the cyber intelligence officials who worked for Macron on this said, "We basically, our goal was to voluminously increase their workload."
Right.
So if we make their workload so voluminous, we could slow them down and prevent them from interfering with the election, which apparently worked.
Right. And, you know, and they said something about, even if it made them lose 1 minute, we're happy.
Yeah. If one thing they put out there made them lose a minute, but they had a team of people doing this over and over and over again and probably changing tactics. And I think that's interesting to me because people will ask the question often of, is there any, I mean, cybercrime is becoming so advanced, it advances more every day. Mike, you're always saying things like it's not if, but when, and it's a matter of time, and you know, we haven't seen the worst of it yet, this is the tip of the iceberg, and I have said all those things, and I continue to say those things. And they will ask the question, and I think it's a good question, well, what's the point? I mean, we're all going to be attacked, right? Well, no, the thing is that the good guys are as active as the bad guys, and they're as smart as the bad guys. And so I think that this is an example of, you know, I'm not saying anything about the candidates in this election. I don't know anything about Macron or his opponent. I don't even know who his opponent was. But the good guys were the cybersecurity guys who were able to successfully counterattack the attempt to influence the election.
Right, and it was very clever because in this case, for instance, they, if you were going to try to sabotage an election one way or the other, you might want to try to find some incriminating or embarrassing information to blackmail them
or to widely publicize it
to make them, you know, look like fools, or that, you know, look at this is what this person is. And they intentionally set up fake documents. Part of the things that they've shared that they've done were they invoices for Bitcoin payments for the drug bath salts sent to the French National Assembly, or There was something else. I don't remember what it was.
Some Russian hacker saw that email, and he's like, I've hit the mother load. Yes, I got him.
It was fake. So I thought that was fabulous that they sent out things like that. That's just the one example I could think of. But, you know, I was like, that's awesome. Because, you know, can you imagine that that's your job? What are we going to do? Let's make up.
Yeah. Okay. I think that would be a great job. Yeah. I used to say I wanted to, when I was a kid, I wanted to write for National Lampoon magazine.
There you go.
National
it would Lampoon. Be just like that.
It'd be like that. Doing that all day would be fantastic.
So we can put out documents, you know, that talks about, you know, somebody having a, you know, I don't know, a large supply of, you know, purple and pink teddy bears or something, you know. That
Eric has that.
Eric has that?
Yeah, he does.
That's thousands of them.
You don't want to put that out because that's actually something that's true. I've been to his house, yeah.
It's thousands of them?
It's a large collection. It's impressive just by sheer volume. I mean, but it's a little odd, I mean, I would say. He knows the name of each and every one of them, too, so he can tell you.
I thought it was a little strange that they were sorted by material. You know, like there's the mink ones.
Yeah, he's got
the side.
He's got mink, and there's polyester on the very other end of the collection. He's got wool. He's got camel hair. He's got I don't know.
Elephant skin ones were a little weird.
That's strange. Yeah. And he gets like a glazed look in his eye when he takes you through the collection too. He's there's something
fanatical.
Off. Yeah, it's something weird about it. I mean, we all have our hobbies, I guess. But
But he did not order bath salts. So
no, that is not true. So we want to retract that. So thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Bottom Line IT. We're glad you were with us. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next week.